Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 81, Text 19. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Swarga Pavagayo Pumsam. Visayam Bhuvi Sampadam. Savasam Apisitinam. Mulam Tach Charanam Chanam. Devotional service to his lotus feet is the root cause of all the perfections a person can find in heaven, in liberation, in the subterranean regions, and on the earth. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. So, greetings from the Sun Falls, Stuyvesant Falls. I've kind of settled here for, I think, 2 weeks. Next week I'll be in Washington on Sunday and Monday. Be hosted by Hari Kirtan. We have some nice program. But staying in one place is really good if you want to do spiritual practice, if you want to study, regulate your life, it's good for health. So I'm relishing this opportunity. And in a very nice community, very kind of special community of nice Vaishnavas situated in different stages of their life that seem to naturally cooperate together. So we have the story of Sudama Brahman. He's so poor, but really, really poor. Emaciated, can't properly feed his family. But on his good wife's request, he goes to see his former schoolmate, who is now the king, and who also happens to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, Krishna greets him in so many ways as his friend, but also because he is a Brahmin, and this is the glory of a proper social system. When the people in top, the people who have the most respect, also have control of the resources, there tends to be exploitation of those resources. But in the Varnashram, a proper social system, the ones who are respected are the ones who are most devotional and renounced. So even if one was the king, if you wanted to be number, if you wanted to have all the wealth and power, egotistically, you had to be in the number two position as the ruler. And if you wanted the number one position, then you'd have to be the most renounced. So it created a system where the people who were on top and had the most authority ultimately were the most detached and therefore the most neutral. So here, Krishna, who's the role of the king, when his friend comes, who is a Brahmin, even though he's so poor and wretched, Krishna offers him so much respect. He worships him. He worships him. You see, if the top of the society is not renounced, then the society in general and society and this world is filled with ego, so people want to be on top. Then the society will gravitate towards wealth and power. But if the person's on top are the most renounced, then yad yad acharite shreshta. Society will have a certain edge of simplicity and renunciation. That's why in Prabhupada's society, it's so important that as much as possible, those who are in the renounced order should live simply for the proper health of the societies. Anyway, he's respected, and you know, then he realizes because of what he's brought, you know, because of proper culture, society is always the proper exchanges of love. So one is always exchanging gifts as they're thoughtful, but as a symbol of love. This is what people want. People's hearts want to be satisfied more than anything else. They want to be in a society which has love and expresses love. And that's healthy. That's ultimate what health is. That one is secure because they've been loved. One feels shelter, one feels protected, because they're loved. One can be comfortably vulnerable, because they're loved. They're loved. Don't we all want to be in a situation where we can let our guard down, where we can relax? Because there's love, not exploitation, not dog-eat-dog, not envy, ambition. So part of that culture is a society which is always expressing love in terms of the dati pritagrinati, giving gifts and accepting gifts. But Sudama has nothing, but still, what he has is some bag-chipped rice. But when he gets there, he becomes totally embarrassed. Here is God, here is Krishna, in the ultimate opulent setting. And then he's going to say, here, I brought this for you. Even though he's brought it, he's kind of hiding it, and Krishna kind of smiles, reveals, you know, what do you have? With precious gifts. And he's laughing because he realizes that it's almost like looking at him and saying to his friend in his mind, smiling, seeing his friends are so wretched and poor and thinking like, man, your days of poverty are over. Bhagavatam is rasa, it's all love. I was just reading in the Wives of the Brahmins, Krishna's starts off with Krishna's friends in that beautiful pastoral setting of Vrindavan. with the lotus flowers and the cool water and the beautiful trees and the wind that is blowing to offer service and devotion. And Krishna's friends say to him, I'm hungry. You are Vishta Nivandana. You are the destroyer of the wicked. You're the destroyer of the enemy. The worst enemy is food. So feed us. That's also love. The expression, you are my protector, you are my maintainer. And the expression of that, even asking something, is love. As a child, mommy, mommy, I'm hungry. What love? And Krishna is thinking, and he wants to relieve his anxiety. Because Krishna is thinking, what is great is infinitesimal if it's not offered with love. And what is infinitesimal is great if it's offered in love. And therefore he says to him, Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta priyachati. You offer me with love a fruit, a flower, some water. I will accept it. It's the love. And later, he'll have a great palace and he'll enjoy the palace because it's an expression of Krishna's love for him. So it's not poverty, it's not wealth, it's love. And that's what we enjoy. And a classic example is a home-cooked meal. Cooked for you by someone who loves you. And going to a restaurant. Which is better. That's why in a proper Vaishnav culture, people even if there's two people, one will serve. Even if there's two people, one would serve. To add the element of love. And that's what a culture is. Even I was talking with Ma Muni and the appreciation of Confucius. And came down to the definition of proper ritual. Ritual is to inform your life to something greater than yourself. Putting yourself in a position, a humble position, where you can feel mercy and love. And when things are no longer done for that, then they become useless. And then Krishna is meditating and he's saying, well, you know, my friend was so poverty stricken, but now I'll give him wealth. And then a very revelatory thinking of Krishna, that there's two types of renunciation. One is indifferent to wealth, and then there's a psychology of abhorring it. I was thinking, I used to visit this Sanatan Das Babaji, all the glories of Vrindavan with all its saints. And he was the foremost disciple of Krishna Das Babaji. Um, I'll have to find out what happened to him. But I used to visit him, and he used to do kirtan, and that kirtan used to just blow our minds. Oh, my God. And so I would try to give him a donation, and he would refuse, and he would go to his room, which is a little kutir. I remember I pushed open the door and threw the money in. And, you know, he had arthritis, so he couldn't bend his knees, so he kind of wobbled back and forth. And he came running after me angrily and took the money and threw it at me, and I was shocked. I thought, Jada Bart is somehow or other in one's aspiration to spiritual life, maybe previously had a samskara, a nature that wealth was so entangling, and then toward Krishna, you developed a detachment. But now Sudama had to change his mind because with the desire of his chaste wife, even though it was for him, he thought it was the desire of his wife. And she was a devotee. So now he had to go in the mood, okay, I will accept something. So Krishna is thinking now, I will give him something. And he's thinking these broken grains will satisfy the whole universe because they're offered with devotion. And this is such a principle. This is even an economic principle, the satisfaction of Krishna. I always think in Vrindavan, Prem Kishore, at that little farm that he has near the temple, Prem Kishore. I was thinking he lived there for the cows. His faith was in the cows. Lo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmanitaya Chanchigaritaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namoda. It was for the cows, to satisfy the cows. And the place just developed, land came and money came and so many things came. I watched it, pleasing Krishna by taking care of the cows. Taking care of the cows. So that's a principle of prosperity. It's a different economic principle. And it's a principle that takes faith. So when he took one grain, then Rukmini grabbed his other hand. Understanding that prosperity depends on God's satisfaction. And she was thinking, this one grain, Krishna is so satisfied with his devotee, he's feeling so delighted that if he, you know, he'll give him the whole world. If he gives another grain, he may give me also. And then Sudama sets back for home, and he feels he hasn't gotten anything, but he's detached, he feels delighted, he's still satisfied. He's humbled and grateful because he appreciates God and understands the greatest gift is God, and he got God's association. And then this is what he's saying now. Devotional service to his lotus feet is the root cause. Is the root cause of all perfections a person can find in heaven and liberation and the subterranean regions on earth. That's wealth. Happiness is a heart filled with devotion. Oh, we pray for faith in that. Because if we have faith in that, we'll have it, but we have other faith. I'm happy if this, I'm happy if that, I'm happy if this, I'm happy if that. But happiness is a heart filled with devotion. Thinking, next verse, if this poor wretched suddenly becomes rich, he will forget me. In his intoxicating happiness, the compassionate Lord did not grant me even a little wealth. A booty. Of course, the commentators say he didn't grant him a little wealth. Yeah, he's going to grant him a lot of wealth. So he comes home and thinking to himself like this, Sudama comes to the place where his home stood. Now, entered into Sudama's mind what he must be thinking. But that place was now crowded on all sides with towering celestial palaces rivaling the combined brilliance of the sun, fire, and the moon. There were splendorous courtyards and gardens, each filled with flocks of cooing birds and beautified by ponds in which the Kamuda, Amboja, Kalara, and Utpa lotuses grew. Finely attired men and dodai women stood in attendance. Sudama wondered, what is all this? Whose property is it? And then realizing it is his own, then how has this come about? As he continued to ponder in this way, the beautiful men and maidservants, as effulgent as demigods, came forward to greet their greatly fortunate master with loud song. And instrumental music. As explained by Acharya Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the word Pratyagrinam, they acknowledged in turn, indicated that first Sudama accepted the servants within his mind, deciding, my Lord must want me to have them. And in response to the visible change in his attitude, they approached him as his master. So all of a sudden, these servants manifest. But they don't realize yet if he's going to accept them as master. But then Sudama, in his mind, acknowledged them. And acknowledging them, because God wants me to have them. So he accepts it in love. Sometimes when I take new people around in Parikram, I don't have any conception, especially non-devotees, right? I don't have any conception that, or even expectation that they'll give me anything for it, because that's not my motive. That's my seva. I'm not doing this as a business. So I remember one time, these people just came for 2 days, and they gave me 10,000 rupees. And I awkwardly accepted it. And I realized the whole situation was awkward. And later I spoke to Satchinandana Swami actually about it. And he said, no, it's their offering of love. You know, you have to accept it graciously, in the mood of accepting it for Krishna's service. So he accepted it for Krishna's service. 25. Patim agatam akarnya patyud darshati sambhama nishtakama grihaturnam rupini shri avalayat. When she heard that her husband had arrived, the brahmana's wife quickly came out of the house in a jubilant flurry. She resembled the goddess of fortune herself emerging from her divine abode. Purport. Srila Sridhar Swami points out that since Lord Krishna had turned Sudama's home into a heavenly abode, everyone living there now possessed beautiful bodies and attire appropriate to the residents of heaven. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti adds this insight. The night before, Sudama's poor, emaciated wife had been sleeping in rags under a crumbled, crumbling roof. When she woke in the morning, she found herself and her house wonderfully changed. Only for a moment, she was confused, and then she realized that this opulence was the Lord's gift to her husband, who must be on his way home. Thus, she prepared to greet him. Wow. What a surprise. What a surprise. But the happiness in it is that it's God's mercy. Because many people have such wealth and riches and they're not happy. Because their relationship to those riches is an enhancement to their ego. Rather than in relationship to service to God. Everything is consciousness. Pativrata patim drishva premo kanta sulochana Nilataksh Yanumad Bhudya Manasa Parishashvaje. When the chaste lady saw her husband, her eyes filled with tears of love and eagerness. As she held her eyes closed, she solemnly bowed to him. In her heart, she embraced him. So, the image of the love of a chaste wife, completely satisfied in heart, satisfied in relationship, satisfied in position, satisfied in relationship to God, satisfied in heart. That's the key, to be satisfied in heart. Not be satisfied in things, unless those things are in relationship to heart. Patnim Vriksha Vishpurantim Devim Vaimannikam Miva Dasinam Nishkakantinam Madhye Bantim Savismata. Sudama was amazed to see his wife shining forth in the midst of maidservants adorned with jeweled lockets. She looked as effulgent as a demigod in her celestial airplane. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti explains that up to now, the Supreme Lord had kept the Brahmin in his wretched state so his wife could recognize him. So I guess his thing is going to change also. So he's going to have to accept the austerity of wealth. And for some people, that's an austerity. It was too much when I first came to ISKCON. I tell you, we really lived in poverty. We really lived in poverty. Really. How many people living in small facilities? We didn't even have our own clothes. It was a common laundry. And then in the morning, you'd go and you'd pick up a dhoti. You didn't have your own dhoti. It wasn't even tilak. It was some kind of cement or what you put on. But it was something they bought in the stores. People didn't have tilak. I'm not recommending that. I mean, just somehow or other, that's what was provided. I don't know. I mean, it soon changed, but I guess the society is a little bit more. But I remember if you came, woke up late, there was no kurtan, you'd wind up wearing a dhoti and a cowboy shirt. But I remember reading out what someone said, you know. You know, the happiest days in his life when he was early in the Boston Temple and his only possession was his beaver. Now, our philosophy is yukta vairagya. We don't want to make the hard heart. Hard heart. We don't want to make the heart hard, not the hard heart. We want to make that. We don't make the heart hard. So we take what we need in God's service. We take what we need to be satisfied. That's fine. But ultimately the happiness is the consciousness. And I guess in your youth, sometimes there are periods where one performed austerities and it was, you know, for time, that type of austerity and enthusiasm, etc. You got something out of it. But obviously, people need to have their own things and it's not, well, otherwise it's Agu Bharagya, false renunciation. With pleasure, he took his wife with him and entered his house, where there were hundreds of gem-studded pillars, just as in the palace of Lord Mahendra. You know, someone who's a renunciate, they won't be happy with that. Think of someone who's truly renounced and make them a place. That's opulent, super opulent, gold bedsteads and what. They won't be happy with it. This looks like this austerity. Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti comments that Sudama was simply astonished at the sight of his wife as he wondered, who is this demigod's wife who has approached such a fallen soul as me? The maidservants informed him, this is indeed your wife. At that very moment, Sudama's body became young and beautiful, bedecked with fine clothing and jewelry. The word pritaha here indicates that these changes gave him considerable pleasure. The famous Thousand Names of Vishnu hymn of the Mahabharata immortalizes Sudama's sudden opulence in the following phrase, Sri Dama Ranka Bhaktarta Boom Yanitendra Vaibhava Lord Vishnu is also known as he who brought Indra's opulence to this earth for the benefit of his pitiful Sridham. In parentheses, it indicates Sudha. Rubies, diamonds. In Sudama's home were beds as soft and white as the foam of milk, the bedsteads made of ivory and ornaments made. Imagine walking into a house like this. Would you be happy or not? There are also couches with golden legs, as well as royal chamara fans, golden thrones, soft cushions, and gleaming canopies hung with strings of pearls. Upon the walls of sparkling crystal glass, inlaid with precious emeralds, shone jeweled lamps, and the women in the palace were all adorned with precious gems. As he viewed this luxurious opulence of all varieties, the Brahmin calmly reasoned to himself about this unexpected prosperity. He thought, I have always been poor. Certainly the only possible way that such an unfortunate person as myself could be suddenly rich is that Lord Krishna, the supreme opulent chief of the Yadu dynasty, has glanced upon me. After all, my friend Krishna, the most exalted of the Dasa Tathagat and the enjoyer of unlimited wealth, noticed that I secretly intended to beg from him. Thus, even though he said nothing about it and I stood before him, he actually bestowed upon me abundant riches. In this way, he acted just like a merciful rain cloud. So Krishna didn't tell him. And the reason Krishna didn't tell him is so amazing. Because Krishna's standard... Because Krishna's standard of value is love. And Sudama had so much love that Krishna was embarrassed that he couldn't give him enough. Just see, God appreciates love. Devotees appreciate love. We appreciate. Krishna is embarrassed. What can I give? Krishna, napariye hum. I cannot repay one. Real love is nothing you can give except love. Sri Krishna is Bhuti Bhoja, the unlimited enjoyer. He did not tell Sudama how he was going to fulfill his unspoken request. Because according to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, he was thinking at the time, my dear friend has given me these grains of rice which are greater than all the treasures I own. Even though in his own house he had no such gift to bring me, he took the trouble of begging it from a neighbor. Therefore, it is only proper that I give him something more valuable than all my possessions. But nothing is equal to or greater than what I possess, so all I can do is give him such meager things as the treasures of Indra, Brahma, and other demigods. End quote. Embarrassed at being unable to reciprocate properly his devotee's offering, Krishna bestowed his favor on the Brahmin silently. The Lord acted just like a magnanimous rain cloud which provides the necessities of life for everyone, near and far, but feels ashamed that its rain is too insignificant a gift to give in return for the abundant offerings that farmers make to it. Out of shame, the cloud may wait until nighttime, when the farmers are asleep before watering the fields. Such a nice reason why, in a proper, and it used to be like this, chronically the rains would come at night. And why? The chief of the Dasahar clan with whom Krishna is identified in this verse were especially renowned for their generosity. So I'm going to end with just one more verse, and it sums it up. Listen, it's very beautiful. Kinchit karotyu api yat svadatam surit kritam pao api purikari mayopanitam pitukaikamishtim patyagahit priti yato mahatma. The Lord considers even his greatest benedictions to be insignificant, while he magnifies even a small service rendered to him by his well-wishing devotee. Thus, with pleasure, the Supreme Lord accepted a single palmful of rice that I brought him. The Lord is the supremely compassionate reservoir of all transcendental qualities. Life after life, may I serve him with love, friendship, and sympathy, and may I cultivate such firm attachment to him by the precious association of the devotees. Okay, we'll end for today. Are there any questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is Gail.
Nanda Dulal said Hare Krishna first.
Oh, I'm muting my phone.
I'll answer his question first. No, you didn't know me. I just answered his one. Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj, for your comment. It was wonderful, you know, listening from your lotus mouth, you know, all the activities of Sudama and Krishna's reciprocation. But when you mentioned the last portion that Krishna enjoyed the one piece of thatched rice, but isn't that Krishna is in a what you call bhavagrahi janatan? It's not the thatched rice, but it is the mood that Sudama showed to Krishna that has pleased Krishna.
Right, but it was expressed in the offering of that rice, which is all he had to give, but it was given by his friend. It's just like a parent. If the child, let's say a little baby, goes out and picks a little flower and says, "Daddy, Daddy, here's the flower," you know, "Mommy, Mommy, here's the flower," right? Yes, it's their love, but it was expressed by what they gave. That was the expression of the love. And therefore, the parent may take that flower and put it, you know, in a vase, and it may give them more pleasure than if someone, you know, spent $100 at some florist and something was sent by the mail. It may not give as much pleasure as that. So in the same way, you know, Krishna tasting that one grain, because it offered in love, meant so much to him. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Okay, Gail?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
Hi, Krishna, Gail.
I had a question, but you had answered. It's always nice when you answer a question that I have without my having to ask it.
Good. Okay,
but,
good.
The question that I still do have, though, is, I don't know if this was just for instruction or what, but, you know, when Lakshmi wanted, when she, like, grabbed hold of Krishna's hand to keep him from taking that, more rice from the Dhamma Brahmana, because, you know, of what it would mean, you know, he's going to give Sudama Brahmana so much out of reciprocation, you know.
You made it kind of sound selfish and material. I would assume it was her expression of appreciation. You know, it's just like I love that picture where Janaki, the sister of Jamuna, right? Grabbed the passport out of Prabhupada's hand. And Prabhupada got so much pleasure out of it. So it wasn't like, oh, she was a thief. She was expressing, we love you so much, we won't let you go.
Yeah.
So I would assume that really it was just an expression of appreciation for Sudama's love.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Wow. She's satisfied with my brilliant answer.
I'm trying not to be Maharaj, but I have no choice.
Okay. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello? This is when I usually get letters afterwards from people. I tried to do it, but it didn't work. Okay.
Hi, Bob, Maharaj.
Hi, Bob, Shastra.
I'm here with Binodrai, Maharaj, for a wonderful class.
Really? Oh, thank you. Okay. Okay. Shastra, I'm going to give you a call in a few minutes. I was just going to call you anyway, just to see how things are going. I was thinking the adhikari to mute the phone, it usually takes a person to be on the Sangha for 3-4 years until they master it. Okay, I'm going to end now. Okay, Panchakopa Juvisha.